You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action coming up on Wednesday the 8th of August. And it's a busy Wednesday during the flat season. We've got Brighton, Shepstow, Kempton, Pontefract, Yarmouth, Sligo, all live for you on Racing Radio. You can listen on the William Hill website or on the app to all the action. But here on the podcast, my name is John Kibbe, joined by Paddy Aspel. Hello Paddy, how are you?
I'm all good, John. How are you?
Yeah, very good, thanks. We'll get to your selections for Wednesday's racing in a moment. But first of all, I just want to ask you about something which is today on the front of the Racing Post today as we record this on the Tuesday. And it concerns a stalls ban for a horse following an issue at Glorious Goodwood, a classic seniority trained by Marjorie Fife. And the horse has been banned for 6 months because of it was basically refused to enter the starting stalls. There's been a little bit of a debate over this and the length of the ban, and the owner saying it's unfair and that, you know, more better known connections wouldn't have had the ban or would have had a shorter ban or would have been treated more kindly, the horse given more options. But he's sort of blamed the stalls handlers a bit for this. And as a jockey, I just wanted to ask your perspective on loading horses when they're being stubborn in terms of going in the stalls. Do you think banning the horse from racing for a period of time is the way to do it?
I think maybe he got 6 months, did he?
Mm.
Yeah, 6 months is a long time because, you know, obviously he's a pretty high class sprinter and, you know, he's a turf horse and, you know, we're in July, August, so it's such a bad time. What do you do? You just got to chuck the horse out in the field until Christmas and get him back in again, which is pretty pointless because, like I said, the bulk of his form is, you know, there will only be races for him on the grass during the summer. So they're basically retiring the horse for, you know, more than 6 months because it would be pointless, like I said, to fetch him in at Christmas. So you wouldn't be looking to, you know, be getting this horse back in off grass until February. But all the time, you know, you've got to pay to keep him and just, you know, and the price won't drop because, yeah, you're not going to have entry fees and stuff because you can't run your horse. But apart from that, the keep isn't going to drop. He'll still eat as much as ever, and it's harsh. I mean, I think maybe obviously sometimes if a horse plays up, they without being banned. Obviously, this chap will have gone through the process as well, where they've got to turn up to race meetings and do a stall test before racing. And but you see, for me, they could be a little bit pointless because you're going down. Generally, there might be. Sometimes you're on your own. Sometimes there's two or three horses there that the other trainers have got there for stall tests also. So everything's very calm. There's not loads of horses. You know, there's no real panic. It's not a proper racing scene. I know, obviously, yeah, he's been fetched to the races on the wagon that day, and you know, it's a similar sort of role. But just there's no pressure at the start. Everything's very calm. It's all done very quietly, and they only have to stand in the stalls for, I'm pretty sure it's 60 seconds. And, you know, they don't even ping the front of the stalls. Like, a stalls handler will stand by the side and just gently open the doors. So, it's not the same. And for me, I think, at times, it's pretty pointless, you know. Because the owner's going to have to pay for that also. Mm. You know, fetching the travel again. So, it's like another run, really. And you're not running for any prize money. I think maybe if they say, look, this horse has got to have rehab, stalls rehab, and therefore if they want to fetch it back, keep entering it and running it, it takes the same amount of time to withdraw it as if it had even been for a stalls test and it plays up next time. If they bring it back and it appears at a track to run, its behaviour is no better, it doesn't want to load, withdraw it, job done. Just give them, you know, like whatever amount of strikes. Whereas, yeah, this is what they've done with this horse, but this horse, obviously, then they've got to employ a longer rehab because he's obviously got some issue. I remember watching this horse in particular on the day going to, because Martin Harley rode him, going to the start, and he went down, a kid could have rode him. He's as calm as you like. But you see, I know the owner has come out today and said about the stalls handlers. The stalls handlers are under instructions from the starter. Mm. The starter, like, it's not up to the stalls handlers to say, right, we're going to take this one away. We've had enough of it, or he's not going, or whatever. The starter decides what's happening. And if they say, even if the stalls handlers think maybe they're winning the battle, if the stalls handler, in his opinion, thinks that the horse has had enough chances, or they're over their past start time of the race, and he says, take it away, that's the final word. And straight away, he'll radio into the stewards to officially withdraw that horse. And doesn't matter who pleads or whatever, you know, once it's been made official, that's it. Jockey gets off the horse behind the stalls and he's not going. But it's, I see his point when he said about the McEastaby horse up at Hamilton at that their big meeting recently. You know, he's got loads of history, that big massive horse Hoofit. He's got loads of stalls history, and they said he delayed, I don't know, maybe an exaggeration to say delayed the start by 15 minutes because you're just not allowed to do that. But starters have got a job also. They've got to try and keep off times to as close to what the scheduled off times are as possible. So they've got a job.
And they're quite strict about that in this country in particular, aren't they?
They are, yeah. And I mean, look, sometimes if you get down, like I was at Newcastle there the other day, and you know, we were at the start for one particular maiden, and Peter Chappelheim had a favourite in the race, odds on favourite. Now, it had a bit of history. He'd obviously had stall tests or whatever in the past. I don't know his history. But as soon as he got down to the start, they tried to load him because the horses that have got a blind on to go in, they've got to be attempted first because chances are it's going to take them the longest to load. So they're led forward first. But straight away, they got him up to the stalls. 95% of the time, you can always tell by a horse's body language if he is actually going to go or not. You know, generally you'll get it right, say that's not going. You know, some days they're just having none of it, other days they just need a good shove and they're just being a little bit stubborn. But at times when, you know, they're 600 kilo animals, if they don't want to do something, their body language generally reflects that. But on this day in particular, you know, people could say, well, this horse was crazy price favourite. They did give him a lot of chances. I noticed that down at the start. But that said, there was, I don't know, maybe 10 or a dozen runners. But he got an awful lot of chances. But he was one in particular. I'd have said straight away, once I took one look at him, without trying to be clever, I knew he wasn't going to go. Mm. And he wasn't. And in the end, yeah, he was withdrawn. And there was another horse in the same race also, another Newmarket horse. But they didn't give that as many goes. But I don't know if the bias is there as regards what trainers train them or what jockeys are riding them. I think that starters as well will have looked at an awful lot of horses down at the start. They can read body language also. They know by the look of one if this is going or not. So they can, sometimes they probably make up their minds quicker than others because, like I've said, if one's just been a bit stubborn, needs a good shove, they'll see that. And so they'll give it a chance. But, you know, for a big race like that, on a busy, was it Saturday?
I think it was the Friday or the Saturday. Yeah.
So, but still, you know, there's a lot of runners and they've got to keep time schedules. I think it at times it can lack a little bit of consistency, how many goals a horse gets. But I think probably it's on the day. I can't speak about this individual case much because I didn't actually see him being attempted to load. The owner said one stalls handler led him up first time on his own, and then second time he was a bit skew if and sideways on his second attempt, and that was it. They took him out. So based on that, you'd have said, yeah, that's a bit harsh. Because considering he was on his last strike as regards getting banned. Mm. So you would have liked to have had a proper go at him and said, well, look, they've tried absolutely everything. He's not gone in. and we're so disappointed we've been banned, but they gave us every chance. I can see his point, but I didn't see the attempts to load him, so I can't say. But but sometimes it can lack a little bit of consistency as to how many goals a horse gets. But as I've said, all these things are time dependent. They've got to get start times to as close as possible. Them starters have got a job as well, so it's a bit of a magic circle, you know. Everyone's trying to got their own job to do, and but it's an interesting one. But it'll because of the grey areas, it will always be up for debate.
Very interesting. Good to get your insight on that, Paddy. Well, I'll turn our attention from talking about what happened at Goodwood last week and industry issues in general to specifically focus on racing coming up on Wednesday, as usual on the podcast. You've got two selections for us during racing on Wednesday. What's the first one?
I've gone to Kempton tomorrow evening in the A10, and a trainer who I think does very well with this type of horse in David Lanigan, and he's got Atticus Boy here, who is going for the four timer tomorrow. He has won round Kempton previously, and although he is up into a class four tomorrow evening, and obviously his mark has now climbed up to 79, I just thought he showed a pretty good attitude at Hamilton to win last time, because the horse in second, who's been desperately unlucky, he's been second up at Hamilton about a book of times, but he was a real good form gauge, because he's a horse that always runs his race, and he's a very, very honest and willing horse, probably not as talented as Atticus Boy, but he ran him true and hard to the line, and Atticus Boy showed a real good attitude that day. And like I said, he's got form over this sort of trip, he's got form on the surface, and the fact of the matter is, if you look back through Atticus Boy's form, he's just been a real slow burner, but he has improved with every single run that he's had. And you know, I think maybe 79 and a class 4 obviously asks a bit more of him now, but I think Dave Lanigan is a real genius with horses like this. He brings them along gradually. Generally, even when they start winning, they're still quite green and backwards, so they're never going to go and win 10 lengths and blow their handicap mark. So he's able to climb the handicap system sort of gradually and the way you should do it. And I think Atticus Boy, I wouldn't rule out him getting the four-timer up tomorrow evening.
Atticus Boy for Paddy in that 8-10 at Kempton then. And you have a selection that runs at Pontefract, right?
Yeah, I've gone to Pontefract later on in the day for one of the sprinters. I love these sprints at Pontefract, because the form here really does stand up. You know, horses that act around Pontefract, you know, there's stacks of them. We've got loads of these horses.
Unusual kind of 5 furlong course, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is, because, you know, if you can manage to jump good, it really helps, obviously. But the thing about Ponty is, from that 5 start, you're on the incline all the way, and if you can jump good and get a position that you're happy with, you can just sit on your horse and give him a chance to climb the hill without putting your foot on the gas, and trying to hang on. Really, the aim at Pontefract is always to hang on until you get turned in and you level out. Then you can sort of go up through your gears, hopefully, and you'll have a bit of horse left to finish off, because once you get to the furlong marker at Ponty, you start to the momentum starts to come with you, because it's a downhill run to the line. So if you can go up through the gears between the 2 and the 1, get your horse running as much as possible, and then from the 1 home, even you don't have to have stacks of horse left, because like I said, momentum can be with you. And the horse I've gone with here is the old boy of the party here in Bondi Beach Boy. I really love this old horse. I've ridden him in the past, and it was a long time in between drinks for him until he got his head back in front last time, but I've always kept an eye on him, because he's been knocking on the door just recently. And I mean, God, he's been competitive off marks far higher in the past, but you know, he's for a sprinter, 9-year-old, he's got plenty of miles on his legs, so he's got to find his grade now. But I said, he got his head back in front last time. He is up to a mark of 72, but he's got loads of course and distance form. He's drawn 2, and there is some in-form rivals in the race, especially the top horse of Mick Appleby's, who's won his last 2 in Classic Pursuit. And, you know, he's also got course and distance form, and he's got the beaten last time out of some of the rivals that he's going to come up against tomorrow. But it's more sort of heart over head with Bondi Beach Boy, because I think he's a horse who really does know how to win, and even off 72 now, he could still have another day or two in him, because when things drop right for him, he does try. Like I said, he knows how to win, he's well drawn, and Dave Allen knows him very, very well. So he's up against it tomorrow, as I say, just competing against younger rivals and having to give weight to some of them also. But he's a horse I do like, and I think he's got every chance there tomorrow evening.
Bondi Beach Boy then for Paddy in that 4.20 at Pontefract, that 5 furlong handicap. It's live on Racing Radio along with the rest of the day's racing. Please do join us live from 1.30 for all the day's action. There'll be another podcast tomorrow, and Paddy, thanks for being with us today.
Great, thanks Sean.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.